Anyway, today we're going to be talking about Yeshua, or Jesus, the Maror remover, the bitterness remover. And we've talked over the last 3 weeks about three different aspects of the Passover, and we're going to complete it today in preparation for next Saturday, which I hope everyone will be able to attend because it's going to be a very special time. Now, during Passover, Rabbi Gamliel, who was the teacher of Rav Shaul, that is the Apostle Paul, and also the most honored and famous rabbi of his day, is quoted as saying, "Any man who does not make mention of three things on Pesach, on the Passover, has not fulfilled his duty." And these three things are the Passover lamb, or the Pesach, the unleavened bread, or the matzah, and the bitter herbs, or the maror. Now, over the last 3 weeks, we studied Yeshua, the Passover lamb. That was 2 weeks ago. And last week, Yeshua, the unleavened bread, or the matzah. And today, again, in preparation for the upcoming Passover, we're going to study Yeshua, the maror, or the bitterness remover. And what I mean by that is that Yeshua is the only one who can remove the bitter root from our lives and set us free from its destructive path. Isn't that wonderful? That he can do that. And he desires to do that in each and every one of our lives. In the book of Exodus, chapter 12 and verse 8, and if you have your scriptures, you can write these down or you can follow them. In Exodus 12:8, Adonai spoke to Moses concerning the Passover, and he said, "That same night they are to eat the lamb, that is the Pesach, roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs, maror, and bread made without yeast, or the matzah." But the question arises, why do we eat bitter herbs, or the maror, during Passover? Is it just because we like the taste of it? But honestly, I really love the taste of the maror that we have at Passover. It's basically horseradish root with beet juice in it. Sometimes it's incredibly hot. Sometimes it's more mild. You never know what you're going to get, as I'm quoting Forrest Gump, right? You don't never know. Sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's not. But anyway, why do we eat the bitter herbs or the maror on the Passover? The Lord wanted every member of the household to participate in the Passover. He said in the book of Exodus chapter 12, verses 26 through 27, "And when your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' then you are to tell them, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to Adonai. Whoever who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians.'" Now, from this passage here that I just read, we get what's known as the Manishtanah, or the four questions. That is, when the children would ask these questions about what is this ceremony mean. And normally it's the youngest children who are there at the Passover. So hopefully we'll have a number of young people who can answer, or not answer these, but at least ask these questions so that we can answer them. Now, the second of these four questions is Shebechol Halelot Anu Ochin She'ar Yerakot Halayla Hazeh Maror. On all other nights, we can eat all kinds of vegetables. But why on this night do we eat only bitter herbs? That's a good question. Now, the Lord instructed the children of Israel to eat bitter herbs on the Pesach, on Passover, to remind them of how life in Egypt was very bitter for them because they were slaves in Egypt and they had a cruel taskmaster. We read in Exodus chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, these words. But the more they were oppressed, the more the children of Israel were oppressed, the more they multiplied and they spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the children of Israel, and they worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with all sorts of hard labor in brick and in mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their hard labor, the Egyptians used them ruthlessly. We also read in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 through 9, where the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. Then he goes on to say, and now the cry of the children of Israel has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So this is kind of good for us as well. If you ever wonder, does God hear you when you cry out to him? Betsy, does God hear you when you cry out to him? Oh, yes. He hears us. So when you're going through some suffering, some pain, some agonizing thing in your life, and maybe you don't even know how to deal with it, maybe it's so intense that all you can do is cry out to God, know that the Lord hears and the Lord sees your cries. And not only sees it, he cares for you, and he wants to take care of you. And he wants to help you. And he wants to bless you. And he wants to restore you. Make you well. Heal you. He wants to wrap his arms around you. And squeeze you tight. Because he cares about you so much. Isn't that nice? It's more than nice. It's fantastic, isn't it? It's wonderful. Now during Passover, who's coming to the Passover next Saturday? Good. Good. Who wants to come but you don't think you can afford to come? Well, you see Miss Irene, okay? Or Miss Laura, but she's not here right now. And we'll work out some kind of a deal that you can't refuse. Okay? Now during Passover, we scoop some bitter herbs or the horseradish on a piece of matzah and we eat it. And tradition says that you should put enough of the bitter herbs, enough of the maror on your piece of matzah. And I want you to think about this because when Saturday comes, I want you to scoop a whole bunch of that red horseradish on your matzah, and I want you to take a big old bite out of that. And why is that? Because tradition says that you should use enough of those bitter herbs to make tears flow from your eyes. Now, why do we want you, or why do I want you? Why does the Lord want those tears to flow from your eyes? This is because he wants us to shed tears of compassion for the sorrow that our ancestors knew thousands of years ago. But also, even now, he wants us to understand the needs and the pains that people go through. And as it brings the tears to our eyes, that we can recall that and remember them in our prayers. But as sweet as our lives are today, we still remember how bitter life was for the children of Israel in the land of Egypt. We are also reminded that life, even now, can be bitter and it can be very sour when we're out of fellowship with God. And if you're here today and you're not in fellowship with God, if you've deserted Him, but He's never deserted you, if you've kind of fallen away from Him, but He keeps reaching out to you, today is the day to get that bitter root removed from your life and put your faith and your trust in Him for eternity and for hope. Thank you, Lord. Only a life that's dedicated and consecrated to the Messiah, Yeshua, will free you from that bitterness of sin, hopelessness, and despair. Because we read in the book of John, chapter 8, and verse 36, these words, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Thank you, Lord. Yeshua is the only way in which we can remove the maror or the bitterness from our lives. In the book of Ruth, chapter 1 and verse 20, Naomi, who was the mother-in-law of Ruth, said these words. She said, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because the Almighty had made my life very bitter." This word Mara is related to the word maror, the horseradish that we eat. It means bitter. She said, "Don't call me Naomi because I'm so bitter." And she blamed God for dealing this out to her. She was bitter due to the separation from God and the consequences of being outside of the will of God. And a lot of times we become bitter because we are out of fellowship and relationship with God. We want to blame everyone else for our bitterness. We want to blame our wives, our husbands, our kids, our employers. Who else do we want to blame? The government. We want to blame everybody, the police department. How dare the police department give you a ticket, right? I was only going 70 miles an hour in a 30 mile an hour zone, Lord. I didn't do that, okay? You did it! But anyway, God can remove that bitterness if you put your faith and trust in Him. To further help us to relate to the sufferings of the children of Israel, we also eat a mixture of chopped apples and honey and walnut mixed with either a wine or grape juice, and we call that chavroset. Chavroset. This mixture, and we're going to eat that again next week as well, reminds us that the children of Israel toiled to make the treasure cities for Pharaoh, working in brick and clay or mortar. And this concoction here of the apples, the honeys, the nuts, all this mixed together is also a picture of Yeshua. At the Passover, we scoop some of the bitter herbs, again, I said, on the matzah, but also now we scoop some of the chavroset on top of that. So we're mixing the bitter with the sweet. We dip the bitter herbs into the chavroset to remind us that even the most bitter of circumstances can be sweetened by the hope that we have in God. Thank you, Lord, for that. Even during the most bitter times, we can find the sweetness of God and even the small things. Again, you know, I mentioned last week, this time last year, you know, my back was out. I was down and out. I was like, you know, Rocky Balboa. I was out, laying flat. I didn't think I was even going to the Passover, let alone lead the Passover. And I cried a lot. I cried, "Lord, I've never missed a Passover before. You know, I've been doing it for 40 years. I've never missed it. How can this happen, Lord?" I kept crying out to the Lord. But in the midst of all that, let me tell you what, I found God's love. I found God's love. Doesn't mean that I liked it. I can't tell you that, boy, this was the most fun thing I've ever gone through. That 10 plus pain was amazing. I loved it. No, I didn't love it at all. But I would just lay there and listen to the scriptures and cry and listen to the scriptures and cry and pray and cry and all of that. And God answered my prayer. And I know He will do that. Even, and I guess I could say in the midst of that, it helped me to get closer to God through all of that. God uses circumstances and situations that we go through to help us to draw closer to Him. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In other words, Yeshua sweetens our lives by removing the bitterness and digging out its root. You know, the maror, the bitter herbs, pictures the sorrow of life and of sin, while the haroset pictures the joy of life and the sweetness of our redemption and the joy of our salvation in the Messiah, Yeshua. That haroset speaks of hope that we have in Yeshua, where it says in Titus, the book, chapter 2, verse 13, waiting for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. That's the hope that we all have. Now, during what's known as the Last Supper, actually it wasn't a Last Supper, it was Passover that was taking place, but most of the world thinks it was a Last Supper. Yeshua makes reference to the maror, to the bitter herbs, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We read in the book of Mark, chapter 14, and verses 18 through 20, while they were reclining at the table eating, Yeshua said, "I tell you the truth, one of you here will betray me, one who is eating with me." And they were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely not I." "It is one of the 12," Yeshua said, "the one who dips bread into the bowl with me." Now, how does this relate to the maror? Because Yeshua is referring to the dipping of the unleavened bread, the matzah, into the bitter herbs, which was part of the Passover ceremony, that you are to take the matzah and the bitter herbs, and it says, and the lamb. And they took the matzah, they took the unleavened bread, and they would dip it into the bitter herbs. This was in obedience to the book of Numbers, chapter 9, verse 11, which says, they are to eat the lamb, the Pesach, together with the unleavened bread, the matzah, and the bitter herbs, the maror. Now, there's two very important things here that should be noted concerning this. One is that everyone present there, all the 12, everyone and whoever else was there, everyone present there was required to dip the matzah into the bitter herbs. In other words, everyone there, his friends, would betray Yeshua in one way or another. Each would dip into that bowl of bitterness or that bowl of iniquity. And we as believers today also betray Yeshua every single day, daily, as we dip into bitterness, as we dip into sin, and as we walk into disobedience. Now, secondly, Yeshua was referring to the one who would betray him that very night, which was Judah, which was the Hebrew name. Instead of Judas, it was really Judah. And Judah would dip into that bowl of bitterness and iniquity and allow it to be consumed into his life. As Judah, we also swallow. We also consume bitterness and allow it to take root into our lives. And we need to allow Yeshua to remove the bitterness from us so that we can walk in the fullness of life that God has for each and every one of us. Now, in ancient days, if you were invited to sup with someone, you were expressing a form of trust and relationship with them. So dipping the matzah into the bitter herbs was also the same as saying, I am your friend and I will not harm you. I will not hurt you. This fact made Judah's deed all the more despicable. And this is actually a prophecy here, because in Psalm 41 verse 9, it says, even my close friend, whom I trusted, who shared my bread, that matzah, with me, has lifted up his heel against me. This is a prophecy about this very event that took place during the Passover Seder that Yeshua was celebrating with his disciples. It was the fulfillment of Psalm 41, verse 9. Even my friend, as it said, if you supped with him, you were saying, I am your friend. I won't hurt you. But he was then taking that friendship and dipping into that bowl of iniquity, being consumed by that. And he lifted up his heel against Yeshua. But this also reminds us of the scripture from Genesis chapter 13, verse 15, where it says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. This is one of the first messianic prophecies in Genesis chapter 3, speaking how the evil one would attack and try to destroy Yeshua, but Yeshua in the end would crush his head because Yeshua has won. Yeshua has won. He defeated death and he rose from the dead in that resurrection power. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He has won. He has won. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. It reminds me of that song. Gosh, who was that Christian singer, and he also is comedian, and he talks about, huh? No, it wasn't Mark. Oh, Carmen. Carmen does a song about this. I don't know if you've ever heard it, where Satan thinks he's defeated Yeshua, and they're celebrating, and they're is that the name of it? The song Champion, and they're celebrating, they're having a big hoopla and a celebration and everything, and all of a sudden, wait a minute, and I think it's talking, and he's alive, he's raising from the dead, he's alive, and they start screaming, it's a really cool song, Champion. It is. I hadn't heard it in years. Joshua, you remember that? We used to play those Carmen? Yep. When they were little. Now they're all big, and I'm getting littler. Funny how you shrink when you get older, you start shrinking. Uh-huh. Yeah. Wait a minute, I used to be 6 foot tall, okay? Look at it, now I'm just, what happened? Thank you, Lord. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, exhorts us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 and through 32, and do not grieve the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for that day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of maror, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Messiah God forgave you. We also read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 14 and 15, make every effort to live in shalom, peace with all men, and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see Adonai. You will not see the Lord without holiness. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root, the maror, that bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Earlier, I mentioned that we eat the bitter herbs, that maror, to bring tears to our eyes, to help us to remember the sorrow and the bitterness of slavery. But we read these words in the book of Revelations, chapter 21, verses 3 through 4. And this is kind of a cure for the bitterness. It says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Why is that? Because there's no more bitterness. No more maror. That maror, that bitterness brings tears to your eyes. But you'll now be with God, and there'll be no more tears. There'll be no more bitterness. There'll be no more bitter root in your life. It goes on to say, there'll be no more death and no more mourning or crying, no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Thank you, Lord. That's going to be us. We're going to be with the Lord and no more suffering. It's going to be glorious. Thank you, Lord. Listen, without a doubt, Yeshua, the Messiah, is the only one. He is the only one. He is the only way, Bob. He is the only way. The only way to remove that maror, to remove that bitter root, that bitterness from your life. He's the only one who can sweeten us with the joy and the hope of salvation. The Lord wants us, as I've been sharing, to personally celebrate and personally experience that miraculous redemption from slavery to sin accomplished through our Pesach, through our Passover lamb, Yeshua, the Messiah, our unleavened bread, and our bitterness, our maror remover. The first night of Passover, I guess, actually begins Monday night, doesn't it? Monday night, the first night. I believe so, and Tuesday the first day. And then we go through the 8 days, and Saturday we'll be celebrating our Passover. But again, between now and then, I want you to be just praying and thinking, Lord, what areas in my life do I need to change? What areas in my life do I need to be cleansed from? What bitterness do I need to remove from my life? What root has dug down deep in me that needs to be dug out and tossed into the fire to be consumed so that God can heal you spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, body, mind, soul, and spirit. He desires to do that and sweeten your life and give you joy, his joy in your life. But you got to be seeking him and searching after him. And I promise you, if you do that, that God will meet your need, answer your prayers, meet you face to face, and everything will be wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Yeshua, Lord, I thank you again for your word. And I just pray, Father, that each one here give their lives over to you, Lord, with all their hearts.